When Pastor Kyle asked me to teach tonight, it was back in November. It was on a Friday. And that week was the week that he had started the table series that we're in. Later that night, after we, I'd already talked to Pastor Kyle, and I said, you know, let me pray over it and just see if this is really what the Lord has for right now. And that night, we sat down for dinner. We do a Shabbat dinner every Friday night with our family, and it was a special one because everyone in our family gets a birthday Shabbat. We celebrate. They get to pick the dinner. It's a whole shebang. Ask me about it later. But that night, it happened to be one of our daughter's birthday Shabbat dinners, and before we sat down to eat, she said, "Mom, can you read this chapter from this book?" It was a very specific chapter from a very specific book. And as we sat there and read it and read scripture together, the Lord impressed upon me that that would be the message for today. And over the next weeks, he would reveal it, and it's beautiful and amazing. So I know what tonight is incredible. And I am usually I'm usually a little bit nervous before I get up here, but all of this week and all of today, I have just been excited. And I am so excited for tonight. So, if you're taking notes, the title of tonight's message is The Invitation of Order, and it is a part of the table series. The Invitation of Order. So tonight, I am going to do something a little bit different. We're going to journey back to Bethlehem, but tonight I'm going to teach the text. We're going to read an entire chapter of Scripture, and I'm going to teach the text. That's what we're doing tonight, okay? We're going to journey back to Bethlehem. Now, I know that we're pretty close to Christmas. You're probably thinking like, oh, yeah, we're going to go back to the birth of Jesus. Not quite. I do want to mention it because at the time of Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph, there's a reason they get called back to Bethlehem, right? There's a census that is being done, and every Jewish person has to go back to their home where their family is from so that they can take an account, okay? There's a census. That is why Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem. We're going to go back even further. We're going to go back to the family that reigned from Bethlehem. And we're going to find out, we're going to learn about the family and why Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem. So we're going to go all the way back. If you have your Bibles on your phone or in person and a real Bible, tangible Bible, we're going to go to a book called Ruth. Chapter 3 is where we're going to start. And Ruth, I'm going to try not to cry tonight, y'all, but Ruth is my favorite book of the Bible. It is my favorite. It is 4 short chapters in the Old Testament. But those 4 chapters are incredibly powerful and mean a lot in the life of Jesus. I'm going to give you a breakdown of Ruth chapter 1 and 2 first, okay? Because we're starting in 3. We're starting in the middle of the story. So I'm going to give you a breakdown of Ruth. Okay? The chapter of Ruth is happening during the time of the barley harvest. Okay, raise your hand if you know when Pentecost is. Okay, so Pentecost is a spring festival that marks the end of the barley harvest. Okay, for us it happens in like May or June. It's typically the last few weeks of May, okay? But it marks the end of the barley harvest. So there's a lot of celebrating. There's a lot of this going on, okay? The chapter, all 4 chapters happen during this time, okay? So in chapter 1, we meet a family. And the patriarch of that family's name is Elimelech, okay? Elimelech is married to Naomi. Elimelech has 2 sons and 2 daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, okay? Now, Elimelech dies. Elimelech's 2 sons die, leaving Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah as widows. Now, at the beginning of chapter 1, we see Naomi give Ruth and Orpah a choice. Because what we learn about Ruth and Orpah is that they are not Hebrews. They are Moabites. They come from the land of Moab, okay? And they married into a Hebrew family. And Naomi says, you go back to Moab because this life is going to be hard. The life of a Hebrew widow was hard, of any widow is hard. But them being Moabites would be better off going back to their home, to their gods. And Naomi says that language in chapter 1, go home to your gods, okay? And at first, they both are like, no, we're going to stay with you. But then Naomi insists, and Orpah goes back to Moab. Ruth says back to Naomi something that you've probably heard. She says no, and she says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. So what is happening here is Ruth is becoming a proselyte. Everyone say proselyte. A proselyte is what we would call a convert. She has left the gods of Moab, and she has stepped under the God of Israel. She has claimed him as her God. That is a conversion that we are reading about, okay? So this happens. What I want to point out is that Naomi is insisting that Ruth go back to Moab because she knows the life that is in front of Ruth and Naomi. It is a hard one. They are widows. They have no one to care for them. It is going to be a hard life. But even more so for Ruth because she was a Moabite. And we're going to read about that later on in chapter 3, why that comes into play. Okay? So that's chapter 1. So they go back to Bethlehem. Okay? They go back to Bethlehem where their land is, where Elimelech's tribe, the tribe that he came from, where his land is. Okay? Because Naomi can live off that land. She can live there. She has a right to it. So she goes and they settle there, okay? In Ruth chapter 2, we see Naomi tell Ruth, I want you to go reap from a wheat field, okay? It's important to note, there is a law in the Old Testament, okay? There is a law in the Old Testament that says that God put in the law at Sinai, the Mosaic law, that commanded any Hebrew who has a field to leave the last part of it for the poor and the foreigner. God laid out a provision. Naomi called forth on that law to provide for her and Ruth. So Ruth has gone to this field and has gleaned from the field. So they are being provided for. It is still a hard life, and they're barely getting by, and that's where we're going to leave off in Ruth chapter 3. I'm setting the stage for you. I'm going to get a drink, because we got lots to cover. Okay. One of the things to note when reading Ruth 3 is that there's a lot of history between the Moabites and the Hebrews, okay? The Hebrews would have known that Ruth was a Moabite. They would have known this. And because of that, there would have been a lot of violence toward her, okay? That is important to note. Anytime that happens, there is a chance of a lot of violence. Okay? That's going to be important to note. We're going to read the first few verses of Ruth. I'm going to read a few through. We're going to stop, chat about it, read a few more. We're going to go on. That's going to be the rhythm for tonight, okay? I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I'm reading from ESV. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. Okay, I'm gonna give you some more history here. There was another law in the Mosaic Law. It's called the Kinsman Redeemer Law. Everyone say Kinsman Redeemer. You can find that law in Deuteronomy chapter 25, okay? The Kinsman Redeemer Law says that any man who dies before having kids, having a son, their closest relative would take their widow as their wife, and any children that they had, it would continue from the deceased father's line. Okay, that's the, it's called the Kinsman Redeemer because they were redeeming their family line, their lineage. Now, that sounds kind of crazy to us right now. But what I want you to understand is that during that time, the most important thing to anyone was their family line. There were two very important things to families, and family line was one of them. We're going to see the other one come to play next. Family line was important. That was their legacy, their livelihood. That is how blessing was carried out. Still how blessing is carried out from our family. Sons and daughters. That is how blessing was carried out. Okay? Over the years, okay, there was another law, okay? Another law in the Mosaic Law was that any land that belonged to the deceased relative could be redeemed by the closest relative. Okay, that is to ensure when God in the Mosaic Law is giving promised land to the tribes of Israel, that the tribes have their land that was promised to them. Okay? Now, over the years, those two laws meshed. In Hebrew culture, they became intertwined, which means if you were going to invoke the law of land, and to invoke that law to redeem the land, you were also going to redeem the widow. It was all of a sudden a double package, right? It came together. That's not what Scripture says, but that is what culture came to make of it. Jewish culture came to make of it. So it became both. You got a package deal, okay? If you wanted to redeem the land, you were going to redeem the widow as well. That's going to matter. That is going to matter, okay? Now, what does all of this mean? I'm going to explain a little bit of the threshing floor because Naomi is telling Ruth to go and do something on the threshing floor. Okay, so the threshing floor, I'm going to try and paint a picture for you. I tend to geek out on this. I'm going to try not to spend too much time on this. But the threshing floor during a barley harvest, it was like a circular ground with a pole in the middle, okay? And the preference would be a stone, but most of the time it was like really hard pushed in dirt, okay? And you would thresh the wheat harvest so that you would either do that by a wheel or you would do it most likely by an animal. They would walk around, right, stomping the wheat, okay? And it would get the wheat to a point when they would winnow it. Okay, raise your hand if you were here and Pastor Kyle explained winnowing wheat. Okay, if you don't remember, I'm gonna remind you. So you either did it with a winnowing fork or you did it with your hand. And you would basically throw up the wheat, let the wind catch it, and it would separate the bad wheat from the good wheat. But before you could do that, you had to thresh the wheat to get it to a point where then you could throw it up and it would be separated. So this is where Naomi is telling Ruth to go because Boaz is at the end of his harvest and he is going to be at the threshing floor. Okay, but then she also talks about eating and drinking. There's going to be festivities. Okay, it's a celebration time. There was always people coming together to celebrate the end of the harvest. Not only that, she's like, Boaz, when he's going to be alone after that. So what I want you to understand about the time is it was typical for a man to sleep with their harvest to protect it. It was very typical at that time for men to sleep on their wheat to make sure no one came to steal it. So Boaz is going to sleep with his wheat, okay? Now we look at this, and there have been lots of different teachings. You look at this and you're like, what is Naomi telling Ruth to do? And you want to assume that it's promiscuous. And we're going to address that because it's not. And there are lots of commentaries that would agree that it's not. Because Naomi is saying, hey, I want you to wait till the festivities and drinking is done. And what Naomi is setting Ruth up for is honor. When it is done in private, she is offering Boaz, the kinsman redeemer of Naomi's family, an out. Because Boaz can turn Ruth down, and there is no humiliation from either one of them. So Naomi is not approaching this as manipulation. She is approaching this in honor. And this is a very different Naomi that we see from chapter 1. If you go back, and I know you're going to get so excited and go back and read all 4 chapters of Ruth after this. But in chapter 1, we see a really hopeless Ruth, a really hopeless Naomi. She's lost her sons and her husband, and she feels hopeless. And it is brought out in Scripture. She changes her name because she feels so hopeless. And then in chapter 3, we see her get a taste of what the Lord is doing, and she's like, let's go. I know what to do now. And she's telling Ruth, and Ruth is saying, hey, I'm going to do everything that you say. Okay. Verses 6 through 9. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. There's a lot going on there. Ruth does exactly what Naomi tells her to do. There, any teaching that you hear on Ruth, it would be a disservice not to mention how devoted Ruth is to Naomi and God. There is a devotion in Ruth that we see that we should want to be like. There is a devotion that she carries. There is an obedience that she carries. She does everything that Naomi says to do. Now, there are some commentaries that will say, hey, this could be a promiscuous. She uncovered his feet. That Hebrew word for feet is actually legs. So it actually means legs. But what I want you to see here is this is why context is important. At no point are we ever even hinted at that Ruth or Boaz is unrighteous. Everything before this has pointed to the opposite. But here we see Ruth's boldness. There was a boldness in her to follow the order that Naomi had told her. She trusted Naomi, and she followed that order. And because of that, Boaz answers, who are you? Now, I'm curious if that sounds familiar, because I read this. I was like, ooh, that sounds real familiar. I immediately thought of Genesis when God says, where are you? To Adam and Eve when they're hiding. But Boaz says, who are you? I'm a little excited. What I began to realize is everything is in Ruth is pointing to a blessing that is hers. A blessing that the Lord says is hers. I want you to hear that. Both Ruth and Naomi are invoking a blessing that belongs to them because God said so. And Ruth steps out, and she knows where she's at. She knows that she is in the hand of God. She is in the order of the Lord. So Boaz asks, "Who are you?" If we know where we are, do we know who we are? Because if we want to step into the blessings that belong to us, we have got to know who we are. And Ruth did. Because the next thing she says is, "You are my redeemer." It's your job to redeem me. How bold is that? Just go, and I just want you to think about this for a second, because the whole book of Ruth is like a shadow of God and Jesus as a redeemer, right? That's the whole book of Ruth. So I want you to think about you going in your prayers and saying, "Lord, this is my blessing. You are my redeemer." That's kind of crazy. And Boaz's response is the response we should be expecting. Because Boaz doesn't turn her away. Boaz doesn't say, "You're so bold, why would you do this?" He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. We're going to read what he says. Okay? Did we read 10? Did we read 10 through 13? I'm getting really excited. So I'm like, oh, okay. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." Boaz responds in honor to Ruth. He says, "You're right. You have called out the blessing that belongs to you, that is my job to give you." We don't carry out the blessing, but we have the right responsibility to call on the Lord for it and say, "I know that you can do this." Boaz responds in honor. But then he also says something else. He says, "But there is a redeemer closer than I." What does that mean? That means that there is a closer relative, so maybe a brother or a closer cousin to Elimelech, that has the right to redeem the land and the widows. So not only is Boaz responding in honor, but his actions are going to fall into the order of the Lord. Why does that matter? Everyone say, the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was when anyone who had a right to that land, the Redeemer, they could come and take it back. It was theirs. They could take it back. That means Boaz could have redeemed that land and Ruth, and it be taken in the year of Jubilee. There is a reason why things are happening the way they are, in the order that they are. The Lord lays out a certain order, and when we follow it, there is a beautiful blessing and freedom that happens. We're going to keep reading. Verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, but arose before one could recognize another, and he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." So Boaz is telling, he doesn't send her home in front of people. There is an honor that is surrounding this order. So there are 3 people that know what is going on right now. Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi. That's it. That's all that knows. Not only that, Boaz doesn't send her home empty-handed. He sends her to wait, but he doesn't send her home empty-handed. And what does Ruth do? She is obedient. She opens her garment, collects the wheat, goes home to Naomi, and she waits. Are we willing to wait for the right and perfect response the Lord has for us when we step into his order? I'm going to say that again, guys. Are we willing to wait for the right and perfect response that the Lord has for us when we step into his order? Ruth was. She takes the wheat, goes back to Naomi, and Naomi asks her, "How'd it go? What's going on?" And Ruth tells her what's happening. And Naomi tells her the same thing. Wait. He's going to handle it today. Not tomorrow, not a week from now. He's going to handle it today. So whether you know or not that it's being handled, he's handling it. So what does the entire chapter of Ruth teach us? What can we glean from it? That's already a lot. That's already a lot, right? But I have key points, I promise. We're gonna go some points point by point. And when you go read chapter 4, there's only 4 chapters in Ruth, guys. You could zoom through it. When you go read chapter 4, you will see that Boaz approaches the closer kinsman redeemer and tells him, "Hey, there's this land to be redeemed." And at first, the kinsman redeemer is like, "Okay, maybe I want you." But then he finds out about the widow. Because remember, it becomes like a package deal, even though they are 2 separate laws. And he says no. And Boaz becomes a kinsman redeemer. I'm going to come back to that. So what does the whole chapter show us? This specific chapter where Naomi is giving Ruth an order to follow, and Ruth is being obedient, and here is the honorable response from Boaz, and Boaz follows this order and responds accordingly, and Ruth waits. What else can we glean from that? So if you're taking notes, these are my key points for tonight, okay? 1, order opens an invitation the Lord already has for us. When we step into the order of the Lord, we are opening an invitation that belongs to us. The invitation is there. Do you know that it's there? Are you willing to open it? Because when we open the invitation, we also say, I will follow your order. And some of you are like, I don't know what the order is. I don't know. I'm sitting here in a really hard time in my life, and I have no idea what the order is. I have no idea what it looks like. Second point. The order of the Lord is not hidden from those who seek him. The order of the Lord is not hidden from those who seek him. The Bible says when we seek him, we will find him. You want to know the order the Lord has for you? Get in scripture. Get in prayer. Seek the face of the Lord and wait. Third point. When we walk in the order of the Lord, there is greater freedom for us. What I want you to realize about Ruth and Naomi is that they could have lived without a kinsman redeemer. They could have lived without that. Ruth could have gone back to her other gods. She could have chosen an easier life. And for some of us, we're in that place. Our life seems, from back then, seems a little bit easier to do. And we're at a point where we have to say, I am choosing my God, no matter how hard it's going to be. We see Ruth choose that over and over in the book of Ruth. And what we see play out, it wasn't easy. We see that it wasn't easy. She had to reap harvest. She had to go and glean from a field as a woman in a field of men who probably wanted to attack her. That's a hard life. She was not built for that. She wasn't the one who went to harvest the wheat. And then she had to be because she chose our God. And her life got a little bit harder. But her devotion and her clinging to the Lord opened up a door that was always there for her. It would have been closed had she chose to go back to Moab. The door of order opens a greater freedom for us. So while they could have stayed in the life they were, they stepped into the order the Lord set before them. Laws that he had put in place years before. They stepped into that order, and Ruth followed it to a T. And what happens? She is redeemed. She now has a husband, and we're going to hear the end of the story because it's so good. But she now has a husband and land, and she no longer has to glean from the field anymore, y'all. She no longer has to be surrounded by men who want to hurt her. There was a greater freedom for her through the order that the Lord set before. And I want you to hear that it may be hard right now because you've chosen this life. You have chosen to follow our God, and it may be hard. But when you choose this life and you follow him, there is a greater freedom for you. But it gets better because it's not just for you. The book of Ruth also shows us that. Point four. Remember, I told you that when Boaz asks, "Who are you?" it is a drawback to Genesis, kind of an inverse of it. When we know where we belong, the next order is to claim who we are. When we know where we belong, the next order is to claim who we are. So you're probably in here and you're like, I know where I am. I know that I'm in the presence of the Lord. I know that truth. So maybe the next order for you is to claim who you are. Naomi had Ruth step into a blessing that belonged to her. Ruth was bold enough to do it. And Ruth isn't presented in the Bible as a strong, outspoken woman. And yet her actions were incredibly bold. She put herself in some serious danger. Boaz could have chosen a much different route. Ruth put herself in a very vulnerable position to call forth what belonged to her. There are promises that the Lord gives us now and here that we have the ability to say, Lord, it is your job to bring forth this blessing. I can't do it, but you can. And I'm bold enough to say, please do it. I need you. And that blessing belongs to me because you said so. Ruth was so bold to follow Naomi into the fire. Like, I'm going with you. Naomi, you know this. You know this much better than I. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna be bold enough to call this forth. Not just for me, but for you too. We're on five, right guys? Okay. If you're struggling to see the order set before you, find yourself a Naomi. If you're struggling to see the order set before you, find yourself a Naomi. I'm going to give you an example that happened, and I was like, Lord, man, you're so good. You're so good. So before service, I was talking to Carol, and she said, hey, I want to pray over you before you go up and teach. I feel like this is what the Lord has. I'm like, yeah, please do. That wasn't my plan. Please do. And she said, good, because you're going to take up the Lord if you said no. Now, Carol has walked with the Lord longer than I have. And it was an immediate, tangible example for me that I can follow a Naomi. I don't know why she wanted to do that. I don't know why the Lord had that, but you know what I do know? That there's greater blessing now for me and for her because of it. Because that's what the Bible lays out. And if you don't know a Naomi in your life, there are lots here. There are lots here. When I was getting this ready earlier this week, I stopped on this point. I'm going to call some of my friends out tonight. Not by name, I won't do that. But Joey and I lead a house church. We lead the Pooler House Church. House church plug, you should join them. But we lead a house church together, and we're in a season where the majority of our house church is a lot of new believers just coming to their walk with the Lord. And they're excited and they're on fire. And Joey and I have walked with the Lord for years now. And we constantly tell each other after house church how incredible it is to be surrounded by new believers. There is an excitement and a fire that they put in you that you're like, I want that. I've been walking for the Lord for a while, but I want that too. And so the Naomi and Ruth relationship works together. Ruth is a proselyte. She's a new believer. She doesn't know the laws of Moses. She doesn't know the Mosaic laws, but she knows who does. She knows who does, and she follows Naomi because of it. But it was Ruth's devotion to Naomi and God that created a shift in Naomi's heart. So whichever one you identify with right now, you find yourself a Naomi or you find yourself a Ruth. And you glean from each other. Order matters. Order matters. Because of all the stuff I said before. But order matters because the Lord is a God of order, not of chaos. He brings order to the chaos. So if your life feels a little chaotic, especially now, it's a busy season for a lot of people. But if your life feels chaotic, what I want you to know is there is order that is yours. And all you have to do is invoke it. Is step into it and say, Lord, I am in your presence. I know that. Your word says it. I house the Holy Spirit because I claim Jesus. That's mine. So I know where I'm at, but I want to claim who I am. I want to claim the daughter or son that deserves your blessing because of Jesus. That is ours. And here's what I want you to hear. It's not about us, right? And that's usually not enough to make us step into something. When we make it about us, it usually dies off because it's not about us. Okay? So what I want you to hear from the book of Ruth is that Ruth didn't only invoke the blessing on her behalf. She did it on behalf of Naomi. So if you don't want to do it for you, do it for the person sitting next to you. Do it for your neighbor in front of you, for your children, for your parents. Do it for the people around you. But it gets better. Ruth would go on. I'm going to cry. I'm sorry, guys. It's going to happen. Ruth would go on to birth a son. And his name was Obed. And in the book of Matthew, the very first chapter is the genealogy of Jesus. And in that genealogy, you will see Obed's name. Because of the blessing that Ruth was bold enough to invoke, our Messiah came into the world. So if doing it for you isn't enough, and doing it for the person next to you isn't enough, then do it for the kingdom of God. When we are bold enough to step foot into the blessing that is ours, we strengthen the kingdom. We partner with Jesus and close that gap between heaven and earth that much more. And so tonight I'm going to leave you with a phrase that I've been saying all week. When we answer the invitation to order, you can say yes. You can also say for the kingdom. I'm doing it for the kingdom. As I close out tonight, I'm gonna pray a blessing over you guys. But I want you to walk out of here with a newfound boldness to step and ask for the blessing that belongs to you. Not just for you, but for the kingdom. There is an invitation that is set before you. And it is an invitation of order. The order that is not hidden from us. And when we step into that order and we follow it, there is a blessing to be found. And there is a greater freedom on the other side of it. Lord, thank you for everyone here tonight. Everyone present and watching online, God, thank you. Lord, I ask that you would begin to reveal what they believe to be hidden, the order that is not hidden from them, God. I ask that you would open up their eyes and their ears to see what you have set before them to follow. I ask that there would be boldness in them to step into the blessing that is theirs, to call on you to invoke the blessing that belongs to them, God. Thank you for our example of Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi. Thank you for placing this story in Scripture for us to learn from. Thank you for Ruth's boldness, for Naomi's leading, and for Boaz's honor. May that reflect in our own life, Lord. May you bless everyone in here with a Naomi or a Ruth. You know what they need, Lord, and may you bring it to them. Thank you, Lord, for the connections that you are making. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the way that you have laid out Scripture that point us to Jesus. Thank you for our Messiah who makes a way for us to invoke the blessing that we deserve because of him and because of his sacrifice. Because of the covering that he has given us, Lord. That is our blessing. I love you, Lord. Bless them in greater glory. In Jesus' name, amen.